Ah, it looks like they may have gotten rid of it.
Oh, then you missed out.
Man, I mean, just the title of it, Man's Balls Got Stuck in a Plastic Chair. Well, someday, wait, can I ask you something? If I say to you, someday you're the balls, but someday you're the plastic chair, is either one of those things correlated well?
I don't think so. I think though, so if you looked at the picture, you would have seen that he was on one of those plastic chairs that had those like slits in it. And when he sat down, I guess he slid forward, and his nuts are hanging out of the bottom of his shorts or something, and they just like just kind of wedged up inside.
How do you not feel that happening? Like, how do you not, like, there's a certain amount of proprioception that I feel like I have, and if one of my nuts is outside of my clothing, I don't think I've ever had that sensation and been
I
like,
don't.
you know what? It's been 15 minutes. I had no clue.
I don't know how, exactly. Like, there's like clearly some sort of physics involved, quantum mechanics or something.
Some sort of a temporal grease, I would think, like spatial temporal grease. You know what I
Yeah,
mean?
like an ectoplasm. I'm
Now,
following.
an ectoplasm, something the opposite of a natural adhesive.
Anyway, that was just one of those, like, we can make it a running joke. I bet the next time you sit down in a plastic chair, you're getting your ball stuck. Like that, if you could build it and then bring it, do it as a callback, it works.
I like. I'm just trying to think of it. How, without this context, how will
It's
we use this? Because there's, you know how there's the sometimes you're the bug, sometimes you're the windshield. Like, how do we get to a place where everybody
it's
knows
easy.
the
It's really
ball
easy.
in the slot of the
You're
plastic
doing it. You're
chair
like,
thing?
you just bring it up. We talk about the. Hey, remember the other day when you were talking about how your balls like constantly fall out from underneath you? You ever sit in a plastic chair and then like when you slide forward, your ball is stuck in that little groove? That ever happened to you?
It makes a
No.
it makes a
No.
bloop sound. It
Anyway,
makes a bloop sound as it pops
well,
through.
you know what? It didn't happen to me either, but.
Yeah, that didn't happen to me neither.
So like, you like introduce it like that. I think that's a great way to introduce a running joke about balls being caught in lawn furniture.
Sometimes you're the ball, sometimes you're the slot in the plastic chair. Welcome to the Save vs. Poison podcast, the podcast dedicated to gaming, general geekery, and enduring sobriety in an ever-maddening society. With your host, Will, and two guys that probably live under his stairs. If you're an addict, know an addict, or are just interested in exploring the outer mysteries of geekery, you're in the right place. Without further ado, let's get to the show. All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. It's a Save vs. Poison podcast. It's exciting. I'm excited. I'm excited. I might be lying to myself about being this excited. It's Tuesday instead of Monday. I had to work yesterday. I didn't get to my workout. It was a longer day than I expected it to be. So here we are, my gracious host, co-hosts, both of them being kind enough to allow me to delay recording until tonight. It's season 4, episode 7, and the format just keeps on rolling on. My name is Will. I'm your host. Joining me tonight, after trying to confuse his co-hosts on a wildly popular podcast last week with the philosophical conundrum about which side of the octopus is the front, he spent 2 hours staring at an unfrosted sugar donut, wondering which side was the bottom. The donut question still eludes him, even though the donut has been consumed. He's Steve. Hey, Steve.
That question does not elude me because donuts have a clear bottom.
How can
Like,
you
there's
tell?
an obvious
How
bottom
can you
to a
tell?
donut.
How can you tell?
Yeah.
The frosting.
They're no, I said unfrosted. I said unfrosted, my friend. I
Yeah,
said unfrosted sugar donut.
it was a cake donut. The only way you'd be able to tell is if it's like flatter on one side than on
That's
the
the
other.
only way you
It's
could tell
whichever
that.
side they're resting on.
You know, like
But
what happens?
when it comes out of the fryer, how do you know? How do you know?
You could tell.
How do you
I
know?
don't know. I don't have a somebody. I
Fuck,
think
I
some
try to psyop you and it doesn't work. God
I
damn
think
it.
somebody just I think it's
That's
honestly an arbitrary thing that somebody decides when it comes on out. It's like when you decide the sex of a child when they're born. You're like, I don't
But
know, could be either way.
once it's decided, at least with the donut, it's decided.
Yeah,
like,
True.
I just wanted the idea of Steve with the donut in one hand, looking at it, flipping it over back and forth, and going, this or this or this or this.
You know, you know what would have worked better than that? Actually, pancake.
Pancake. Ooh, that,
Nope, it's decided. It's like the donut. Once it's on a certain side, then it's decided.
That is not.
That's the top of the pancake. That's the bottom of the pancake. It's just decided.
That's not how it's decided.
However, I do feel like that there's a proper front and back way to eat a hot dog.
Wait, are you backing yourself into your own PSYOP now?
Kinda. It literally came up earlier. That's what I had for dinner.
Okay.
And the round part has to go toward your like your fingertips, your fingers, and the flat part goes towards your thumb.
The round part
part to a bun. Like there's the roundish part and then there's kind of a flat part. And
okay.
The flat part towards your thumbs.
Right. You said hot dog, not
yeah, you said
yeah,
that had me
a
really,
hot dog.
Really
I thought you were
going to.
Not...
I said a hot dog.
Yeah.
No, when I say hot dog, I mean the everythingness of a hot dog. The bun.
Will and I were thinking you meant the wiener.
Yeah.
And
you're
I was
wrong.
Thinking wiener. They don't have like a flat side on that or a flat end.
It's just a meat tube.
I
would have
said Frankfurter.
It's just a meat tube with a very familiar shape.
Enjoy it.
It is. Great character on a Rocky Horror Picture Show.
I'm surprised you're not the type of person that eats it sideways.
No, I'm not a fucking monster.
Yeah, no, I'm not so sure about that sometimes. See, right? There are times when I'm like, you know what?
It's always arbitrary for me because it's however the wiener like drops into the bun. If whichever side sticks out furthest, that's where I have to start. So basically, like the head. I got to start
weird,
at the head.
Like you eat it backward?
No, I don't. I'm not worried about the bun. The bun isn't the concern here. The hot dog, the actual like wiener is, and wherever like the protrudes the furthest. That's where I got to begin.
I mean, I get that.
Huh. You want that little bit of meat in your mouth before you get to all that bunny bready goodness.
I was gonna say. To me, I think that it has more to do with trying to create symmetry.
Gotcha.
Like this is
that
like totally
sense.
Off balance, and then I start at one end where I'm like, now it's balanced. Now I'll destroy this thing.
I'm sorry.
Yeah,
the idea of you looking at a hot dog going, "This is unbalanced. I must consume the unbalanced portion."
Hey, man. Hey, that's just something that happens.
We all have our kinks, man.
It's not a kink, okay? That's not a kink. It's just like a more compulsive behavior than a kink.
Idiosyncrasy.
I just think that idiosyncratic
particular
behaviors. That's all just kinks without the erection. That's what that is.
He didn't specify that part about eating hot dogs. He might have one while eating the hot dog.
What? No, I don't have an erection while I'm eating the hot dog. God.
What about when offering people hot dogs? Anyways, also
it is
joining
not
me.
A kink. God damn it.
Also joining me tonight, he was recently kicked out of a Costco for walking around wearing nothing but an apron and asking passing ladies if they'd like to try a sample. He later clarified that he just meant the $1.50 hot dogs that were already so popular. He's Ticky. Wow, that couldn't have dovetailed that in any better.
No, that was awesome. That was awesome. And by the way, when you buy one of those hot dogs, one end of it is always the head is it's just sticking out a little bit further.
The
other
head.
That's
the
what
head.
Think of it.
Is that the front of the hot dog? See, so
that's,
a
to
hot
me,
dog
that's
has
the front of
front
the hot
back.
Dog. You're not gonna. Yeah.
It's got a front and a back.
Yeah,
there's a right and a wrong way.
I just see you walking around the Costco now, like literally, like with an unbalanced hot dog in your hand, going, "Look, the head is off just a little."
Yeah, like I can't balance this thing.
This
it's you know, holding.
Be balanced.
Yeah, these are true facts.
True facts. Hey guys, how's it going? Happy Tuesday, Steve. How are you?
I'm happy. I had a hot dog.
Was it a Costco hot dog?
It was not a Costco hot dog, but it was a Hebrew National, and I put.
Oh,
but
those are good.
I did like a poor man's Sonoran dog. I did just tomato, onion, and some fresh jalapeno on it. It was fantastic.
That sounds very very Chicago.
No, doesn't Chicago have like sweet relish and bullshit?
I'll have to ask my brother. That's a good question.
Actually,
yeah,
I can't really weigh in on that one. I don't know the lore of the hot dogs, to be honest.
Well, you know. Everybody kind of eats them just like mustard, mayo, or not mustard, mayo, mustard, ketchup.
Fucking monsters.
Mayonnaise on your hot dog. Actually, no.
That would be like, so awful.
Like tomato
My
and
sister-in-law does it.
Onion and stuff like that? Really?
What?
Yeah.
Why haven't you divorced
I
her?
I shame her every chance I get.
Okay, good. That's fair. Okay, so
I love mayonnaise.
On a hot dog, though?
I don't know. Yeah. I never tried it. Now I'm going to.
Oh, don't do it.
God. Now it's in my head.
That's awful.
I haven't eaten my nighttime calories.
You know what it is? See, and this is where it gets even worse, because now you're going to take that hot dog. There's going to be the one piece sticking out too far in the end. You're going to throw
with a little
white
bit
mayonnaise
white
on there.
On it, yeah.
And I've set yeah. up just really early.
And then I'll take a photograph of it, and I'll send it to both of you, and you'll both think it's pornography, and it'll get blocked, just like that one picture you tried to send me on Reddit there, Tiki.
Yeah.
Unsolicited hot dog pics?
No, it was
a pic of a guy who apparently had sat in a piece of lawn furniture and his nuts had fallen out of his pants or something, and he had slid forward, and you know, like little holes in the back that are bigger, but then there's a small slit in the front. He had kind of like slid his on up there, like how you might, I don't know, lock in a piece of furniture or something. Anyway, the point is, dude's nuts are stuck in a goddamn lawn chair.
I feel like we would call that guy a human Lego.
I just feel like you did that on purpose. It doesn't happen by accident.
What? Maybe.
I feel like it doesn't happen by accident.
Explain why that would happen on purpose.
I don't know why. I mean, some people have kinks about hot dogs, man.
That's true. People have kinks about lawn chairs.
It's not a kink.
Methinks thou doth protest too much. It's not a kink, goddammit.
Yeah, so that was just I sent it on over the list. You should have seen it too, Steve. But it sounds like it got censored.
Unfortunately, so. It's Reddit. Like, there's nothing you can't see on Reddit. Like, I don't understand.
I don't have a good anything for that, to be honest. I just saw it and I was like, this is totally fucking weird. I'm gonna show this to Will and Steve.
Yeah, this is fucked up. Where are my friends? Yeah, I get it.
You know who needs to see this?
You know, it reminds me a little bit of Chiz's Evil Genius Joe's things you can't unsee. Like, I don't know if that qualifies, because that was basically just a freak show of horrors that he put together over months and months and months, and then distributed to his friends as a Christmas gift. Which I don't know what that says about him and his relationship to us, but I just remember seeing some truly awful things. But yeah, just a nut through a slot in a plastic chair. I don't know. Maybe that guy needs to play the lottery, because if it's not on purpose, if it's just accidental.
I'm telling you, it was on.
That's amazing.
I don't know.
Especially.
Again.
Because you said it that he was fully clothed too. Like, how does that happen?
That's true. Yeah.
Like, if you're not trying for it to happen, like,
I don't know. How did you know, back in the '60s and back in the '50s and '60s, how did guys' penises get stuck in a box of popcorn? And it was clearly on purpose. Okay, that's not a good example. But God damn it,
dude! Like, in a box of popcorn.
Yeah, you go out and you buy like the tub of popcorn, right? And you put a hole in the bottom, and then you put your
Johnson. You know what's
disturbing about that
is,
like, I get the image of like the old, because you said like '50s and stuff like that. I get the popcorn you have to pop on the fucking stove. Like.
Yeah. I tried doing that to a Jiffy Pop thing. That didn't work out for me at all.
You know what? You guys have clearly, this is like a plan ahead kind of thing.
Yeah,
I mean, it's
get to the movie theater early.
Yeah, you gotta buy the tub of popcorn.
I had to bribe the teenager behind the counter.
Yeah, I think the hard.
No, go ahead.
The toughest thing is gonna be, right? Because it's a decent sized tub of popcorn. You figure, even if it's a smaller one, it's gonna take her a while to eat her way down to that.
Yeah, yeah.
And you gotta like maintain an erection that entire time. Which I guess if I was a 30-year-old man playing an 18-year-old high school student. It wouldn't be that. It would be a little bit tougher. But if I was actually an 18-year-old student, that'd be, you know, it would just. I don't know why that's the main thing that's concerning me, but it's there.
I don't know. I was just worried there for a second before you started explaining the dick and the popcorn thing, that there was going to be somebody that went to like the supermarket and just like took a box of popcorn, like unpopped popcorn, and just put their penis in it. Just
you know,
just like just so, whoop, just
right. So,
like
so,
that.
So the main problem here is, right, you're clearly deceiving somebody, and that's wrong.
Sure,
in
yeah,
a lot
yeah,
of ways, you're clearly deceiving her. We've already talked about this in the preamble. We already agreed. You pervin, you're gonna perv on her. You just pants down.
Yeah.
Have everything out there. That's that right there. It's a fair dinkum. That is straightforward. Kind of negotiations about that kind of stuff.
I just want honest pervery. I don't like don't hide it. Just be who you are. All right.
There you go.
I want honest pervery.
Yep. I couldn't agree more on that. That's what I'm. That's good old fashioned honest pervery.
Yeah. Cheers.
All right. Speaking of cheers.
Speaking of cheers, I don't drink anymore because I'm Will and I'm an alcoholic.
And I'm Tiki, and I'm an alcoholic.
I'm Steve. I'm not an alcoholic. I feel like I psyoped this already, so I'm going to pass.
You're going to pass? Are you saving it for next week?
Well, I feel like we just did. We did one.
Okay.
Well,
I feel like
sounds
we did one about
now it sounds like you're trying to, like, force him to psyops us. Like, are you sure you don't want to do it?
Hey, just like you in the movie takes, I want to make sure that Steve feels as if he's got enough room to express himself and fuck with his friends at the same time.
I feel like we did
it's
it already.
The same thing.
Yeah,
but if you feel complete.
I'm done talking about fucking hot dogs.
I'm Steve.
And
I'm not an alcoholic, but I really enjoy hot dogs.
There we go. There. That.
And not in a kink way, though.
You know? Shut up. Shut the fuck up.
Feels judged. Stop judging, Steve. All right.
I'm not kink shaming anybody.
Those Hebrew Nationals are good, though.
Hebrew Nationals are so good.
They're so freaking good. Like, so good. Anyways.
There were the real big plump ones, too, the jumbo ones.
You're turning them on. did I have alcohol-related issues this week? So, before I started working on the subject of tonight, one of the things that I like to do is go up on Recovery Twitter, is what I kind of loosely call it. So there's a hashtag Recovery Posse, you know, hashtag Recovery Posse, and it's just a whole bunch of people that that are going through different stages of recovery. And I think it's really cool that exists, that people are, you know, out loud about it. There's a lot of very, very supportive stuff. I don't think I've ever seen like a mean word thrown at another person. I've seen some mean words thrown at people who were posting, like they're, you know, self-flagellating basically, saying, oh, I had a relapse last night and, you know, blah, 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 you know, going off into sort of self-recrimination and being frustrated and angry at themselves. But as far as the tone and tenor of other people interacting, it's almost all really, really very supportive stuff. But one of the things that I keep coming across that bothered the shit out of me was there's a lot of people that just in the last couple of days were saying things like, you know, oh, 16 days, haven't thought about drinking this entire time, or 2 years sober, I don't miss it at all, and 15 years sober, every day's a better day than the last one, don't think about alcohol at all. And I'm like, okay, all right. Like, I'm really glad that you guys are either not thinking about alcohol, that's the uncynical way to look at it, or if you're thinking about it, you're lying to us to try to present as not thinking about it because you're kind of over it, and that's the cynical interpretation of that. Now, every day I have some kind of a thought that is, you know, usually very, very fleeting, but it's always like, man, a beer here would be good, or man, here, a scotch would be great, or, you know, there's every single day there's always something that brings me back to, man, it'd be really great if I could have a beer. That would be delicious. Like, yesterday I was watching something I was watching live poker, and one of the players at the table had a glass of beer with an orange slice in it, which, you know, usually is a wheat beer. And I love wheat beers. I love them. They're delicious. They're tasty and refreshing, and a little piece of orange in there, delicious, fuck. And I couldn't, like, it really made me want to have a Hefeweizen or a, you know, a Blue Moon or whatever you want to call it. And I don't ever know that I'm going to get to a place where I don't have a day where I think about drinking in terms of a pleasant moment. And regardless of how fleeting that moment is, and it usually is just a super passing thought that doesn't have any more bearing on my day than just whoop in, whoop out. But when I'm reading all these people's tweets like this, I get a little bit frustrated because I can't join them in the, if it's the uncynical version, and I want it to be the uncynical version of, I haven't thought about drinking or a drink in X amount of time. I want to believe them, but I have a hard time because I don't believe them. So that's all I had for the share for this week. So yeah,
you know, you mentioned that, it makes me wonder if it's just a different perception. Maybe other people who haven't gone through, say, AA or a 12-step program, or maybe they've had a really good support group this whole time.
Yeah.
And they're just really, you know, but what it might be coming down to is they haven't had a serious or strong thought or urge. Not that they haven't had, like, little minor ones, just there haven't been any serious considerations. And maybe that's the thing. And to your point, what you were saying is probably the most correct. It, for me, as soon as you said it, I'm like, no, I can't go down the fucking highway without seeing 10 signs.
Yeah.
That all show people getting drunk or everything. Yeah. We got fucking NASCAR cars named after alcohol or with alcohol sponsors. It's in every damn movie. I watched James Bond, the final one, No Time to Die, and oh my God, did Daniel Craig, like, I mean, I'm sure it's like apple juice or something, but he was just like James Bond, just banging away at like at scotch. And I'm like, oh my God, like, I don't want scotch, but James Bond is having a lot of scotch and it doesn't feel fair. And like that's kind of how I view it. And I really think that and it's not being cynical. I think that it's just understanding that other people have a different perception, and that you may be, my friend, rather sensitive to it,
yeah,
for a lot of very valid reasons across the spectrum there. But what you feel and how you, like, these little ticks, right? Maybe it's like a meter that just jumps up.
Yeah,
you notice those little ones, and there's a lot of people out there who simply don't. And I'm with you, but I would say that I don't really think about alcohol, but it's in the sense that thoughts are fleeting for me in that regard, unless it's when I'm watching a show or a movie or driving on a goddamn highway, but I can usually just kind of put it to the back of my mind very easily. Mm-hmm. I don't have serious thoughts about drinking. I did a few weeks ago, some weeks ago, when I talked about, like, having like a really shitty week.
Yeah.
And that was something that I thought about. I put it to the back of my mind, but that was a serious thought. That was a serious consideration of, I could go down to the store right now. And that's, I think there might just be a difference in the sensitivity levels on that.
Mm-hmm.
Not saying you're wrong, saying that maybe it's just the way that other people perceive it is different than you. I think that you and I perceive it slightly different as well.
Yeah.
But mine has to do with, quite frankly, mine has to do with the fact that I've basically had to deal with the divorce that I went through because of it, and you've been basically like trying to maintain your marriage and keep your family together and do all of those things, and it makes you very sensitive to it, versus I've basically just had to deal with a catastrophe that is my life.
Sure.
So it's just slight differences, but I feel you. The same thing with the subreddit for Stop Drinking. People are always hopping on there. I'm like, they're like, it's my 1 year anniversary, and I'm like, I don't fucking care. I really don't care. Right? I mean, good for you here, have an upvote, but I'm not going to read your damn backstory. Yeah. Like, it's not that big of a deal.
But I refuse to get invested in you.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, exactly. You, by the way, it's your blank anniversary. I don't care, man. There are people who have posted on that subreddit that have been sober for 10, 15 years and fallen off the wagon.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're all still vulnerable to it. Celebrate while you have it, sure, but don't get overconfident, don't get cocky, don't get complacent in thinking that just because today or even the last like 10 days you didn't have a serious urge that tomorrow it won't happen.
I literally just had the thought of like I'm Luke Skywalker in the gunner seat going, "I'm sober, I'm sober," and you turn your Han Solo head towards me and shout, "Great kid, don't get cocky." Like that's literally how that felt to me.
But it is, or it can be at least. And I'm not saying that it's going to be for everyone, but again, look to the point, be ready for that point in time where you have to be steeled against these urges or these compulsions, that you can deal with it. Because if you're thinking this entire time that everything you've been going through has been so easy that everything in the future will be too, it reminds me of this sketch on SNL, like way back in the 80s, where they were it was like Dan Aykroyd was like, what's wrong with your neighborhood? What do you hate about your neighbors? And she's like, I hate this lady's there. And she goes, I hate that the trash men come at 8 in the morning on a Saturday. And he's like, oh, really? He's like, yeah. He goes, well, here's what we did. We filled up all the trash cans on your street and the street before you with tissue paper. And they're filming the trash men going through, like, these are lightweight. These are lightweight. And it shows them like going down the street, just like picking them up and throwing them in, no problem, one hand and all these things. Yeah. He goes, but at your house, we filled them with bricks. And like the guy like grabs it, gets yanked up the side of the garbage truck, gets like plowed into the front yard, and he's all fucked up and like incinerate hernia. So, yeah, maybe it is all tissue paper right now, but there's probably a trash can full of shit that's gonna weigh so much it's gonna rip your arm out of socket.
Wow.
Metaphor.
Yeah, metaphor. I don't know. I the last 2 years have been really good. The last 2.5 years of my sobriety have been really good. I have not run up against any real adversity so far. I am concerned about the idea of the next surgical procedure that I will probably eventually have to have. I mean, I've got arthritis in my knees. I imagine that eventually I'm going to have more, a larger procedure that will require potential narcotics. I'm worried about the next time that a close family member passes and how I'm going to deal with that. So
Well,
I do have the thoughts in my head about, when tragedy or when adversity comes looking my way, how am I going to deal with that? And as of right now, all I can say is, I have my support systems, I've got the community, I've got the things that I'm working on now to try to make all of those decisions about whether or not to drink in the future much easier to say, no, I will not drink. But you're right, you don't know. It's all tissue paper until it's a load of bricks. So yeah, I get that, man. I get that, man. Well, thanks, man. Do you have anything to share tonight?
I think I just kind of knocked it out of the park there.
Cheers. All
I'm
right.
good.
Cheers.
Now, I haven't had any real problems lately. I'd say that this last week has been, I don't want to say easy. That's not the word I would use. And I don't want to say I haven't thought about alcohol, but I haven't had any like strong urges. I've gotten in my rides on my motorcycle.
Nice.
Yeah, it's I've I mean the toughest thing for me is the boredom, but I'm trying to alleviate that right now, so we'll see how it plays out.
Gotcha. Steve, do you have anything to share tonight?
Yeah, nothing, I mean, real big.
That's all right.
It's something it's a thought that plagues me very often. I don't want to spend too much time on it because it's kind of a bigger thing,
Which
but I definitely
donut
want to
does
get your
the
guys'
donut
opinions on it.
hole come from?
Which side is the donut up on?
Yeah.
No, which side does the hole come from? Where do they punch it through?
Yeah, where do they punch it through?
That's actually a really good
The
question.
top or
The
the
ring
bottom?
toss.
Well, then how do
It's
you
clear. That's how I do
you know what? That
it. What?
that stands to reason.
It's the only way to
Engineering
make donuts. Anyways.
at its finest, ladies and gentlemen.
What's in your head, Steve?
So the concept of separating art from artist.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, I know it's kind of big.
That
So
is a that that's
recently,
that is a big
it's
question.
a big thing. So recently, very recently, last Friday, Vincent Kennedy McMahon retired.
Yeah.
Now the prevailing theory, the speculation, as our lawyers told me to say, is that he's doing this because of the articles that have come out in the Wall Street Journal about him basically paying off women that he's slept with and stuff like that, you know,
Yeah.
all these NDAs, and basically he's scum. Not that that surprises anybody.
I was just gonna say, I was gonna
No, I
say.
feel
Nobody's
like,
shocked by the fact that Vince McMahon is scum.
how do you separate art from artist when the art is like art
See?
imitates life? Like,
Right? Well, so like, and my thing is, I love wrestling. I love wrestling.
yeah.
I saw some of these people post, and I don't know how true this is or not, but like, some people have said things to the effect of, you know, I wouldn't have gotten into wrestling without him. And to an extent, that's true. He's essentially responsible for, you know, the biggest wrestling company worldwide. It's you know, as me and you were talking the other day, when somebody says wrestling, it's synonymous with WWE, right? Like they say that, or WWF, as opposed to, you know, to wrestling. It's the Kleenex of wrestling. So without him, you know, I may not enjoy this fine art form that I enjoy so much. But man, he was kind of scum, right? Like, so
Well,
yeah, so.
how do I square the idea that Bill Cosby did what Bill Cosby did
That,
when one
yeah,
of my favorite
exactly.
moments that I ever had with my grandparents was introducing them to Bill Cosby's himself and like worrying that my grandfather was gonna die from like literally gonna die from laughter and how I introduced somebody to a piece of media that I loved that they then responded to so incredibly well, and this was somebody that I looked up to. So, how do you square this shit? And I think that it kind of comes down to the idea that you can remember enjoying the things that you remember enjoying, but moving forward, taking anything that comes from that person with that grain of salt. Like, don't feel bad about loving wrestling. There's no reason to. But if Vince McMahon was going to continue being in charge of the WWE, I feel like you would probably want to move away from that. And other people probably should too,
Yeah.
because it's not like there aren't other avenues to enjoy the format, right?
Of course,
Like, there's
it's
other stand-up
WWE's not even my
comics.
favorite wrestling.
I would kind of have either of you read like Ender's Game or any of the sequels to
Oh
it?
yeah, Ender, Orson Scott Card is not a
I don't care about Orson Scott Card as much. He's a bit of a wackadoo on his own thing, but he did write good books and he did have some cool ideas. And one of them I always thought, and it's something that we don't really do, but it's the speaker of for the dead. Concept that he has in there, where you have you as a speaker for the dead, or the speaker of, in this case, somebody who's retired or whatever, you simply lay out the truth. Now, how do you weigh that against your own morality, your own admiration, those other pieces and aspects of it? You know, that's up to you. But if the truth is there and it's laid out, and you can look at it from like point A to point, you know, Z, at the end of the day, what all's happened, what all's been done, how this person has behaved, what they've pulled off, what they haven't done, why I admire them, blah 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 blah. You understand that story. At the end of the day, if you can still look at what's laid out and, you know, be okay with that person, cool. At the same time, understand that as much as you love wrestling, you need to separate McMahon from wrestling. He is a sociopath.
Oh
That
yeah, I
man is
mean,
that man. That man is.
yeah,
He is
he's
just.
not
He
a
is
good
just.
person.
No,
Like,
no, no. He's a
I
horrible
mean,
person.
and here's the thing, wrestling is full of terrible people. You know, two of the considered all-time greats, you know, Hulk Hogan and you know, Ric Flair are just fucking
Just
terrible
garbage. Just
people.
garbage human beings.
Yeah.
But.
But you know, I can appreciate the show that they put on, you know,
There's a
like
difference in what you're saying there. There's a difference between the wrestler and the character they play. So like Andre the Giant always played Andre the Giant, but the guy who played what Face of Mankind,
McFoley.
McFoley.
McFoley. He
Great
had
human.
like six, yeah, six different personalities he ran with in wrestling. He was just really committed to the fans, and the guy loved what he did, and he sacrificed like fucking
Oh,
everything for
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
But what I'm trying to get at is, take from these things what you can, judge them against your own principles, and then you kind of have to make a decision about what you're going to do. And it's kind of there's no universal for everyone. I've met some of my heroes, and I've read a lot about some of my other heroes, and I might absolutely love somebody like, say, George Patton, very popular character, but reading about his like little slapping incident that apparently happened once in Italy, when you find out no, it happened at least six times, maybe more, that were not reported. And the way he was acting and the way he was treating his troops, there's no excuse for that. But yet a lot of people want to like push that one, shove it under the rug. They're okay. They will accept that behavior if it means that the image or the icon or this avatar of this person, of this hero that they have, remains.
Well, I
They will
also,
excuse.
oh,
No,
I'm sorry, Tiki.
that was actually like literally the last thing, was just
Okay,
they will
okay.
excuse it.
I think that there's also kind of a push towards wanting to have an all or nothing view of people that do incredible things.
Well,
Because,
for everybody.
No, I think
Yeah.
that people throughout history that have done incredible things, like one of the constant refrains that I hear is, the founding fathers were slave owners. Yeah,
Yeah.
they absolutely were. And we should talk about the fact that they were slave owners, and
Yeah.
we should condemn slave ownership. But then at the same time, we have to be able to also look at this group of learned, brilliant human beings who stood up to the greatest power that had ever existed on Earth at the time. And formed something that was
Is
moving forward and still is a pretty amazing experiment in governance.
I think what you're getting I think what you what I would sum it up as saying, you can have heroes and there's nothing wrong with criticizing them.
Correct. Yeah,
I
100%.
don't know
But
why there's this like the push of either or. You can't criticize so and so. Like, yeah, I
just to
can.
be clear, Vince McMahon is not my hero.
No, I know,
No. He's a
but
horrible person. We've already
yeah.
established that narrative. We know if Vince McMahon could like figure out a way to like eat a puppy in front of everybody at WWE, he would do it. And
And
it's not
have
because
that,
it's and
yeah.
it's not because it's a character. It's because Vince McMahon heard from somebody that puppies taste great. That's why he would do it.
So no,
He's a horrible person.
I don't think that you think he's a hero, but I do think that you feel conflicted because something that you love, something that was built by a monster,
Is something that I find so much joy in.
yeah, is something that you find so much joy in that you feel conflicted that you should you find joy in it? Yeah, absolutely, you should find joy
So
in it.
actually, my conflict is this. Really, because like I said, I've been thinking about this a
Did you
lot.
just fucking well actually me?
Well,
God damn it.
yeah, but in a different way.
Huh.
Not this isn't like
No,
a.
it was pretty straightforward.
No, it was because it wasn't a
Right.
correction. Like, well, actually, it's more of like, okay, well, actually, here's my thing though, right? So here's my issue.
Sounded a lot
Yeah.
like a correction.
I find that there's levels to this, and that's where I guess weirdly I'm struggling with this concept. Because everything you've said, especially about wrestling, is absolutely right, right? I'm able to separate that. I'm able to separate that guy from this thing I love. However, there's other instances, Bill Cosby being one of them.
Yeah.
The dude who created Ren and Stimpy is another one. I used to love Ren and Stimpy.
Yeah.
That guy's a fucking monster.
Which
I
guy?
can't enjoy, huh?
Which guy?
I don't remember, recall his name, and I don't even really find
Were a
it's.
couple of creators. I read a whole article about how Nickelodeon screwed them over. Anyway, go on.
No, this guy was terrible. He was like definitely, grooming young girls and stuff like
Okay,
that.
that is not the story that I had heard, but
Yeah.
go ahead and
Yeah.
let's keep moving forward with
Yeah, that guy is not.
can we be critical of the WWE and still enjoy the
So,
WWE?
That's my struggle, is that I find that there's levels, and that's what I'm trying, I guess, reconcile. Like, there are certain ones that I can't enjoy anymore. Like, I cannot separate certain instances, and other instances I can. And that seems weird to me. That seems dissonance there for me.
I don't know that I don't know where that dissonance is coming from then. Should I stop enjoying stand-up comedy because Bill Cosby was a creeper and a rapist?
No, you should stop enjoying stand-up
Bill
comedy
Cosby.
because Tim Allen was an asshole.
Oh.
Or Richard Pryor was a cokehead. I'm sorry, where were we going with this again? I wouldn't ditch an entire industry of things that I enjoy. Oh,
Right.
you know what I should do? I should stop riding motorcycles because Suzuki, Yamaha, and Honda were all Japanese war companies. So I'll never ride another motorcycle ever again.
My favorite cologne is Hugo Boss. Hugo Boss designed the uniforms for Nazi Germany.
So, I mean, I don't know. I guess what are you trying to tell Steve here then? Maybe quit being a bitch?
No, I'm saying that the genre is bigger than any one person in the genre, even if that genre has created was helped to be popularized by a pivotal figure who is problematic. Bill Cosby was synonymous with Pryor and with Carlin and
Moody.
like with Lenny Bruce. Like there's he was one of the titans of stand-up comedy. He helped push stand-up comedy in a clean direction while doing really nasty shit towards an entire part of the population that wasn't going to respond the way that Pryor's fans responded to Pryor, because Pryor was talking about so many raw things. It would be like finding out that Jerry Seinfeld was a rapist today. Jerry opened up comedy to a whole different audience than Pryor did. They didn't there was overlap, obviously, but to say that the entirety of stand-up comedy should be written off because there were bad actors, no. Condemn the bad actors. Recognize that your love for a genre or a type of media is fine in and of itself, provided that that type of media does not unduly take advantage of people. And I think that you're okay, man. Like,
I think you're gonna have to reconcile this yourself, dude. I mean,
Well,
I'll give you whatever advice, but I think you're kind
I
of,
know that.
yeah, you're gonna have to. There's a point in time where you're just, there's gonna be, and you're right, there are layers to it, and you're just, I don't envy you having to go through that for something you enjoy. I had to give up when I was a kid. I loved the Transformers, and they, I went to the
Don't speak
Transformers
ill of the
movie, and
Transformers.
they killed Optimus Prime, and then that was it. I just couldn't watch the show anymore.
Okay with
Childhood was just totally ruined.
that. They brought him back like three times.
Yeah, for like half an episode each time, and then they
They
flew him
brought
into
him
the
back
sun. They flew him into
permanently.
the sun.
They
I
brought him back
forgot.
permanently.
When Michael Bay made movies. Okay, whatever.
No,
That's not the
before
point.
that.
Stop. Just, I don't want to. This is the reason I abandoned it, and this is the reason I'm not going to let you psyops
I
me on this.
feel like you let I feel like you opened the psyop door
No,
on
I
this
did
one here,
not. I'm
buddy.
letting
You
it. No,
started talking about
I'm trying to
Transformers, which
let
you
things
know is
go.
something that Steve is going to talk about.
Shush.
It's a little.
All right.
Yeah.
Let's
All right. We can move on. I
moving on.
just,
Thank you.
it's a concept that I'm,
It's an
You're
interesting
wrestling
plaguing me
with.
currently. I like what you did there.
I just need one an episode, you guys. I just need one episode. That's all I need.
I'm glad you didn't try to explain it. That would have ruined it.
That would have ruined it. So you see, wow. Okay. So, good chair, good chair. And I think that that's a heavy topic.
Is it's broad. It's not easy. It wasn't gonna be solved in the, whatever, 15 whatever
It's not
minutes.
going to be solved by us, period. I mean,
that's actually a really true.
It's something that I think I'll flip-flop on from time to time. Like I said, there's instances where I'll be okay with it, and there's instances where I won't, and that is that. Like I said, I'm okay with it in the wrestling sense. I'm not okay with it in the Ren and Stimpy sense. So.
So what does alcoholism look like? One of the things that we, try to do on the show is talk about something meta in the alcoholism general conversation, right? Something that is a little bit of a deeper look at issues that alcoholics or addicts might have to deal with. And one of the things that I recognized recently was we're like, you know, 80 to 90 episodes into this thing. And wait, is that right? That can't be right. That's like 25. It's like 25 episodes a season. No, we're like, we're somewhere in the 80s. Yeah, I think we're in the 80s. Damn.
Yeah, no, you talk a lot. Go ahead.
Yeah, I do. But we never actually just talked about this, the kind of the simple definition of what does alcoholism really look like. We've kind of talked about it abstractly. We've talked about some of the negative aspects that you might have to deal with while you're in recovery. And we've definitely talked a lot about the sort of the worst case scenario stuff that we have anecdotally gone through. But the idea of defining it and then defining it kind of for ourselves and then helping people out there to define it for themselves so that when they see it in themselves or in others, they can ask the questions that need to be asked in terms of, you know, like Tiki said a couple of weeks ago, do you feel like you're in control of this? Which I thought was a really, really prescient and really, really insightful question. So, you know, doing a quick Google search, you know, what qualifies as an alcoholic for men consuming more than 4 drinks on any day or more than 14 drinks in a week? For women consuming more than 3 drinks on any day or more than 7 drinks per week? I think that that makes 2/3 of all Americans alcoholics.
Fuck, you're generous.
Yeah, yeah, I was trying to be really generous. How many Mormons are there? 1, 2,
not enough.
5, not enough.
It's not going to be a large enough sample size there.
Yeah,
and not to mention, I'm going to go in on a limb and say that some of them are kind of like Baptists, and they'll go ahead and do it anyway. They'll just say that they don't.
Sure, sure.
Yeah, that's a good point, though. What you were saying, it's how does it look? And I, to me, this is a bit of a personal question for people, and I think that whenever I would like get on like say the stop drinking subreddit, just as a point of order on that, is when people say, "Hey, I last night drank a whole lot and pissed in my own bed. I think I might have a problem with alcohol." And it's like, yeah, you know, the moment you ask that question, the moment you simply say, "Do I have a problem with this? Am I?" It's the question of, "Am I really in control? You know, I just crapped my bed again."
Yeah.
You know, third time this week. Maybe wonder what could be causing that. So yeah, it's
third time this week, but this time I squatted over my pillow.
Yeah. So like the sheets are clean, just the pillow's ruined. Clean.
Just a dirty pillow.
Yeah. So so I think that you kinda it's gonna be different for not everybody. It's gonna be, there's like kind of shades of gray to it, you know, from like your Puritan white all the way down to your like, you know, blacked out gutter drunk black.
Yeah.
But you've just got to find out like what those shades are and kind of determine them. And for some people, you know, some people might view like what you, the definition from Google, and be like, "Oh my God, I know so many people that are alcoholics."
Right.
Like, well,
right.
Maybe. Or do they moderate? Are they good at moderating?
Are they able to moderate outside of, you know, like somebody that has, you know, 14 drinks in a week. That's just a Friday night drinking and a Saturday, you know, a beer at noon and then one every hour until, you know, about 8 o'clock. I don't know that hard line definition of alcoholism is appropriate, right?
Exactly.
You know, it could be, but I think that putting such a finite number on it and then saying this is what alcoholism is, I think that that's really potentially, you know, misinforming and damaging.
I will say this, like my parents had driven up right around the time that my my son was born, and we were hanging out in my kitchen, and my dad went through a 6-pack of beer and he and my mom went through 2 bottles of champagne between like 7 and 11.
Yeah.
My ex-wife, she took note of that. She was like, "Do you have any idea how much your parents drink?" And I'm like, "I don't know why." And then, like, because to me, that wasn't, my perspective, my perception. I mean, yeah, it was a bit much, but they had been driving all day, so like, I was able to rationalize, even excuse it.
Sure.
But to her, she was like, "That is not healthy. Like, they're both retirees. Like, they should not, like, in your 60s, you should not be drinking that much in a evening." And I was like, "Oh, yeah, that, when you put it, when it's kind of put into perspective by somebody else, yeah, that shade of gray where I thought was a little bit, lighter tinted is now, that slider is moved over towards the darker side now, where I'm like, yeah, they could be two bottles of champagne in a six pack of, in like one evening. Like,
Yeah.
how did you, wow.
I
Like
mean, signs
looking
point
back,
towards maybe, you
yeah,
know.
right.
But I think that there are social elements that have to come into play that you have to, like, social and health elements that have to come into play before any kind of just paint by numbers kind of answer, like what Google presents, could be, potentially even close to accurate. For me, I was drinking quite a bit more than that. I was having health issues and I was having social issues. I was having issues managing my responsibilities. I was having issues managing my relationships with my loved ones. Like, those actually, to me, more than the volume of drinking that I was doing, pointed towards what I thought was alcoholism. So the volume of the amount of drinking, I think, is a precursor warning sign. But the effect that being in a drunken state more often than not on my physical health and on my relationships, that's where I think you hammer home the idea that, yes, that person is an alcoholic. So, we know people that drink pretty heavily.
Yeah. So
But
what you're saying is you want to use context.
kind of, yeah. Well,
But
not kind of. I
what?
absolutely want to use
Oh
context.
my
Yeah,
God.
100%,
This
man.
guy. Listen to this guy.
Listen to
Context.
this fucking
Fucking
guy.
science and shit he wants to throw out there. Okay, go on.
I just think that I can't imagine that that isn't a really important thing. Like, if.
I absolutely, by the way, I absolutely agree with you. I
Yeah.
know that I was talking about it earlier
Yeah.
with my parents. It was even to the point that my ex-wife was like, "Hey, didn't you see your grandfather had a real problem with alcohol?" And I'm like, "He really did. Oh my God." Like,
Yeah.
kind of like started to hit me like, that's that context.
Yeah.
Hey.
But that's like, we can manufacture context in multiple different, in multiple different ways. Like, your father and mother, you said that this was like the coming out of your being pregnant. Is that correct? They came to visit because they found out
No,
you guys
I
found
want
out you were
to say
pregnant,
this is.
or
I think this is my. I don't think we were actually. Maybe we had announced it or something. Anyway, my dad, they were like, "We're passing through," and I was like, "Okay," but now that I think about it, we hadn't had my son yet. So, the long story short, you're right. Context. I think that context though has to be. There's no. You're not going to get like a one sample size.
Yeah.
Like that's not going to be good enough. You're going to have to view it over the course of several. Like I said, although there are some things that to me are a little bit of a warning sign. Like I got really wasted last night and shit in the bed, and it's like, well, that might be one. Like one, you might want to take that as your sample size of one.
Right. And
Like
then start
maybe.
asking questions, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
All right, so I shit the bed last night. Is this something that happens regularly? When was the last drink that you had before that? What
When was
happened when you
the
drank that time?
last time you shit the bed?
When was the last time you shit the bed? Well, it was about 4 months ago, but I'd eaten some really, really bad Taco Bell
Or
that
yeah, or like when I was, I think when I was like 2, you're like, yeah, so maybe taking the time span here, you either you probably need to talk to a doctor no matter what, but just gonna throw it out there. This may be your sample size that you need for that context.
Right.
So that's just that's a thinking, that's a thought that I had about. That's the way that I would. I don't think that's like the best example ever. I think to your point, what you were saying about, are you fucking up your social relationships
Yeah.
while you're drinking? Are these other things happening that are impacting your life? then yeah, that's really good context to take into account as well. How much am I drinking?
Yeah.
Yeah, just so the audience knows, alcoholism is not equal to the number of times you shit your bed in a
No.
given time
No.
period. That is not what we're advocating here.
Don't get me wrong, if it's more than 3 in a week, please seek medical help. Please. Like,
Yes.
that's just too much doo-doo bed.
That's my God, yeah. Now I'm thinking about like, well, I mean, hopefully you have some sort of pad underneath it,
My
and then if
Sealy
that
mattress is
ruins, and
very
now,
absorbent.
God, yeah, then we have.
I mean, if it's that much,
Then,
I feel like you need to be taking
I'll
precautions.
tell you.
Yeah, like flip the mattress, right? Exactly.
Yeah, exactly, 100%, man.
After number two, you're like, man, what if this happens again?
You know what's the biggest problem that I would have with that is we've got one of those purple mattresses that has the grids. Man, trying to get the poop out of that. Whew.
No, you could use like a pressure washer, I'm sure. I feel confident you can use a pressure washer.
I love the idea of like trying to bring my mattress outside the house to pressure wash it, and then like the neighbors being like, "What's going on there?" Oh, nothing. Spring cleaning.
What's really funny is I was thinking the exact opposite. I was like, "No, man, go all like Dexter, put up the fucking,
Oh yeah, bring a pressure
plastic
washer inside.
wall, that way your neighbors won't know." Oh, I feel bad for thinking that
I walk in with a lot of like plastic sheeting and a big gigantic white hazmat suit, and the neighbors are like, "What happened in there?"
You kill your wife.
No,
Yeah, first
no.
time. No, no,
No, we had an orgy. I
no.
have to clean up after it, all right? There's semen
You're so
everywhere.
embarrassed, you're like, yes, I did kill her.
Yeah,
That's exactly what happened.
did.
Yeah, her head's in the freezer because I would rather use that as an excuse than tell you that I pooped the bed
Definitely didn't shit the
three
bed.
times in a week. That's wow. Yeah. No. Why, classy stuff there, eh? Classy stuff.
Oh, the
So,
advice we have for people. I think that we're doing really, we're pretty much, I think we're knocking it out of the park here, so this
this might be the best episode that you people have ever listened to ever in your lives. Ever.
Ever.
Ever. But no,
It's so much.
it's so contextually based. I think that there's so many different parts to that question. What does alcoholism look like to, like, for Steve said that when he talked about his dad, it was one, there was one crystallizing moment for him, right? The taco.
Well, I
Like
don't know if it
you
was
said that was a
one.
crystallizing moment for you where you recognized that your dad had a problem.
Did I say that? I don't
Yeah, you
remember.
did.
I mean, I definitely, yeah, that's like absolutely one of the things. Like, I remember seeing that going like, whoa, that's not normal. And maybe that was the moment that like I realized it, and then you kind of look back at the whole and you're like, oh yeah, those are all not okay.
Yeah, you can put a, like I said, you got that scale there where you're like, somebody's drinking Mickey Big Mouths. You're like, okay, that's you probably have a problem. Somebody's drinking Boone's Farm directly out of the bottle. Okay.
Yeah, put that shit on ice or something.
Yeah, duh.
Duh.
Just kind of drinking straight from the bottle.
Just
What's wrong? Look at
straight
him
from the
drinking
bottle.
Crazy Straw just jammed in there.
I always liked I didn't like having a clean bottle to drink straight out of, so I'd like go put the bottle in the garbage. That way I felt like a real piece of dirt while I was getting
Yeah, but
drunk. You know, really, really, really complete the image, you know what I mean?
here's another way to complete that image too. If you're taking your alcohol bottles and throwing them away in a different trash can than the ones at your house,
Yeah.
that's you're hiding it.
I would call it taking the dog for a walk. This was before we had a dog, though.
It took the great escape. You're like walking around like shit's just falling out of your pants like dirt and rocks and stuff, and you're like, just mutt. No, this is all like normal stuff.
Just
Like,
bottles of shooters.
little
Empty
shooter
bottles of
bottles
shooters just fought like I'm like Andy Dufresne in the prison
are.
yard with the rocks from his wall, just like cut a hole in my pocket and letting the shooter bottles just drop onto my lawn slowly as I take a stroll
Yeah.
with a little tiny
Just walking
private
around.
smile to myself.
Yeah, and your neighbors are like, Jesus, he keeps leaving these things everywhere. You're like, I don't know, it's a real problem.
Turns out his favorite thing to do was hide the evidence.
Yes. So
Uh-huh.
there are some kind of like strong, I would say those are stronger signs than and some other things we've talked about in the past. I'd say those are some pretty strong signs of that.
Yeah, I would agree. I
You're
would
gonna
agree.
modify your pants so you can keep on dropping those bottles all over your neighbor's yard.
Modified
I don't know what's
pants
happening
and
with you.
Dropping bottles.
Well, that's what you get for being so liberal and inviting homeless people over to your house. They just drop this stuff everywhere.
Just everywhere.
Just blaming everything around you. Oh God.
Quit blaming homeless.
Such
people.
Enlightenment.
It's not their fault. It's not
so much enlightenment. In
so
this
much enlightenment. What does alcoholism look like? It is a contextually based inability to manage your intake of alcohol without allowing it to damage your health, relationships to other people, and also, you know, your professional relationships or status, I guess, would be the what I would push towards as far as framing. So, you know, if you see people that are struggling to maintain their health, they're also happen to be indulging in too much drinking, they're unable to moderate, their relationships with their friends and families are deteriorating, their ability to maintain a, you know, their work lives is deteriorating. These are all things that point to asking that question that Tiki asked a couple weeks ago. Do you think that you're handling this well? Do you think that this is a good way to continue to move forward? And let them answer the question for themselves, because if they're honest with themselves, and that is a hard thing to do, if they're honest with themselves, I think that they're going to find that, you know, maybe they do need help. And maybe that's something that you as the wary observer can offer to them if they need it. So, yeah. We were going to go into a gaming thing. I had a topic and everything lined up. Privateer Press, which is the company that makes the game War Machine and Hordes, amongst a couple of other games, has announced a Mark IV edition of the game. So I'm really looking forward to that. Love to see what's going to happen with the new edition of the rules. But they're also introducing planned obsolescence of their older model lines. And I find that to be fascinating. So I think we're going to talk about that next week on the show. So please tune in next Wednesday for that. You can also find us on YouTube. Every Friday we upload. We're still playing Ender Lilies as the accompanying visual for that. That's a great game that I've been enjoying the heck out of. It's a Metroidvania Souls-like. So if those words tickle your ear, you know, come and take a look at the past three episodes of the show that we've uploaded there, and it's great. It's not as difficult as most Souls-likes are, so it's been pretty, you know, pretty smooth sailing as far as getting through the game in a timely kind of fashion. So next week we'll discuss some more gaming stuff. We had a lot of stuff to talk about. Steve didn't psyop us on his big share. That was a worthwhile contribution to the show. That
makes it sound like I normally don't contribute worthwhile.
I was talking about in terms of something worthwhile, you know, from a philosophical conversational.
It's been forever
level.
Talking about fucking hot dogs.
Yeah, yeah. And
I mean, hot dogs are awesome.
Hot dogs are awesome.
I mean, did you know the bologna and hot dogs are basically the same thing?
Basically the same thing.
Like, a bologna is just a really big hot dog sliced.
Which is why hot dogs are sandwiches. But we're not going to get into that.
No, it's a good philosophical question. Are hot dog sandwiches?
Nope.
Get back to us, viewers.
Yep, there's been enough enlightenment for one day.
Yeah, that's enough! Anyways, like every episode of the Save vs. Poison podcast, we like to shout out to the mutual support groups that we hope you turn to in your time of need. Alcoholics Anonymous, AA.org, 212-870-3400. Moderation Management, moderation.org, 212-871-0974. Secular AA, SOS, sobriety.org, 323-693-1633. Smart Recovery, smartrecovery.org, 440-951-5357. And Women for Sobriety, womenforsobriety.org, 215-5357. 536-8026. And for those friends and family of addicts that need a little help from a group type setting, there's Al-Anon Family Groups, www.al-anon.alateen.org, or 1-888-425-2666. From all of us here at the Save vs. Poison Podcast, I'm Will.
I'm Chicky.
I'm Steve.
And we wish you all warm, creamy regards. Good night, everybody. Thanks so much. You've just listened to another episode of the Save vs. Poison Podcast. If you liked what you heard, please follow us, like, and subscribe on Twitter at @VS_save, on Facebook at the Save vs. Poison Podcast, and streaming live on Twitch at twitch.tv/SVP Podcast. Thanks so much for joining us, and stay safe, everyone.